Constitution will survive. If the courts strike down Obamacare, as I expect they will, based on the Constitution, based on the law, then we can all breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief and know that we still have some shreds of our personal lives and our personal rights intact. Should they rule otherwise and uphold Obamacare, there will be literally nothing the government cannot tell you to do. As a recent D.C. District Court judge said, the federal government has the right to regulate mental activity. Folks, if that doesn't scare you, you're not paying attention. We're coming up on a break here. So again, the number here is 303-696-1971. This is Matt Arnold filling in for Ross Kaminsky on Backbone Radio, 710 KNUS and 1460 KZNT. Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought I was coming up on the hard break a little bit further and quicker than we are. Anyway, I urge folks to get some word on this. Check out the website, clearthebenchcolorado.org. There are a couple of posts that were written up on this subject. The most recent one today, talking about the dangers of being prematurely celebrating victory. And then one they posted last week, talking about the fact that Wisconsin is, in fact, ground zero once again. So tune in to 710 KNUS or 1460 KZNT. And during the break, check out clearthebenchcolorado.org.
We now return to Backbone Radio.
An old cowboy went riding out one dark and windy day.
You gotta love the bumper music on this station. Hey, this is Matt Arnold again for Ross Kaminsky on Backbone Radio. Ross is actually joining us here in the studio here in a little bit, but he's letting me run the show for one more segment, so I will continue to do that. Again, getting back to the situation in Wisconsin, and it is one of these situations where, you know, a lot of the commentary is really focused on the tree and not the forest, and it really is one tree in a bigger forest, and looking at the big picture and what's happening, it's not just one state Supreme Court seat in one state in the union. This is just another example of a tactic that has been used effectively and efficiently, actually, by the progressive left for quite some time. It has backstopped to put their okay, I'll take that call in a second. I've got a call coming here. I'll take that in a second. But just wanted to make one more point here about just how this is a widespread issue. And unless the center-right or freedom-oriented movement wakes up to the fact that they have given up the battle or given up the battleground on one-third of our government, we will continue to lose ground as the courts backstop bad legislation and advance other bad legislation and really pretty much promote this takeover and erosion of our rights through judicial fiat, through activist judges, and I don't really like the term activist judges as much, but judges that do not exercise the restraint and respect for the law that really should be the lot of the judiciary. So let me take a call coming in here. It's Elliot on... lost the caller. Unfortunate. Got to be quick, I guess, on the calls here. Well, anyway, I'm sure, Elliot, if you're listening, call back in. We'll take your call. But what we're talking about here is the fact that this is part of an overall blueprint or plan. I talked about the Colorado Model or the Blueprint, an excellent book by the same name by Adam Schrager and Rob Whitwer a couple of years ago, about the overall Colorado Model in taking over states, and that model has been used very effectively in Colorado, taking what's essentially, I believe, a center-right state and turning it a pretty deep shade of blue by taking over all three branches of the government. And the first branch that was taken over was, in fact, the judicial branch, dating back to Governor Roy Romer. And yes, his appointments are still hanging out on the bench and still advancing that agenda decades after he left office. There is no institution that has a greater long-term effect on your rights and on your ability to make a living, to be free from unconstitutional tax increases, to basically live your life, than the courts, and particularly the top of that, the Supreme Court. And again, a very important element in that is is the takeover of the courts here in Colorado. Again, my background, I didn't launch For the Bench Colorado because I have any fetish about judges or folks running around in black robes, but I do have a very strong and abiding respect for our Constitution. As a soldier, I raised my right arm and swore an oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and I do see that right now the greatest threat to our way of life, the single greatest threat to individual liberty in general and our system of government, is this progressive takeover of the courts and basically using that to advance an agenda. So again, coming again from that sort of military background, amateurs study tactics, professionals study logistics. The biggest, you know, shifting from the military vernacular to the political, the biggest, the highest ground is the courts. So we do have Elliot back on. And going, Elliot. No. Technical difficulties, I guess. That's the second time we lost Elliot. Well, Elliot, tell you what. If you're on Facebook, go ahead and like the Clear the Bench Colorado page.
What's that?
Okay. Well, Elliot, go ahead.
Are you on? Am I on the radio now?
Elliot, you are on the radio. How you doing?
How you doing, Matt? Congrats on guest hosting for Ross. Something I wanted to point your attention to. You said it's dangerous for courts to judge, you know, mental state, what's going on in people's heads. Well, let's suppose there's two guys. One person is driving down the street, and, you know, he doesn't intend to hit someone, but, you know, he screws up, he has to kill somebody. The next person sees his ex-fiance driving down the street. He intends to kill her. He does so. The law treats both differently.
But Elliot, you're talking about the law in criminal cases where intent matters. I'm not talking about regulating intent. I'm talking about the recent D.C. Circuit Court decision that claimed that the federal government had a right to, quote, regulate mental activity. These are two things that are on a completely different order of magnitude.
Are they? Isn't intent a mental activity?
But you're not regulating intent. You're coming after actions, and intent can be an exacerbating factor. As a legal type yourself, you know the difference.
I think here's the thing. There's a lot of interesting cases. I actually had to do a moot court brief on this, God knows a number of years ago. And I'm just saying the law is not so clear on how far the Supreme Court, how far the legislature can go in terms of regulating intent or mental state. I do agree it's a huge slippery slope. You've got to be very careful in making blanket statements that the court can't go on what's in someone's mind.
No, Elliot, what I said was the court does not have the right to regulate mental activity, which is a different thing than saying the court does not have the right to take intent into account in regulating actions, physical actions, such as crimes, such as killing people, such as running them over. It's a completely different issue, and I'm surprised that, you know, being the smart guy I know you are, that you're conflating the two. But what the D.C. Circuit Court said was basically they're justifying their interpretation, their take that the Obamacare takeover of your health care was constitutional, was inventing the category of mental activity to fit into the rubric of interstate commerce. So that, I think we all can agree, is a crazy stretch.
I agree with you. If mental activity by itself is interstate,
and that's exactly
commerce,
the claim that the court made.
If that's the issue, then yeah, there's a huge problem, because then every action someone takes is interstate commerce, and that's clearly contrary to the framers' intent. However, it is within the power of not just the federal but also the state governments to regulate mental activity as long as it's in conjunction with another express power that they have.
No, it's not the authority of the federal government to regulate mental activity. What they can do is take intent into account when you're talking about a physical manifestation of activity. If it stays inside your head, the federal government does not have that right. That equals thought control, and I don't think any of us here would advocate government thought control. Do you?
Well, you've hit on one of the big portions of the debate in terms of when the federal government can exercise this power, as long as they have another express power. However, it is pretty clear that the federal government, as long as they're using, or the state government, as long as they're within another express power they have, can regulate what's going on inside your head. And it's not conflating, it's not mixing up the issues in terms of looking at intent. Intent is, regulating intent and putting it as an element of a crime, is the regulation of mental activity.
Yeah, but intent without action is not regulatable, and that's really kind of what it comes down to. Elliot, we're coming up on a hard break. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you later, and again, this is Matt Arnold, guest hosting for Ross Kaminsky on Backbone Radio, 710 AM in Denver and 1460 AM in Colorado Springs and points around that area. Tune back in after the break.